It's all new with Season 2, Motivational Monday, the show that guarantees you the motivation you need to thrive throughout the week.
I felt like if I stopped, all of these opportunities would just vanish. Nothing else would come in. And that's not the case.
Wake up! It's a beautiful morning and time to ignite the greatness within you. This is the Motivational Monday podcast. And here's your host, Abigail Autry.
And a lot of people want to gravitate to the quick, instantaneous side of success and not understand that before you got to where you are today, you had previously launched a podcast in the past that propelled you and was the catalyst to give you all the necessary fundamentals to be successful the second time around.
All big changes come from the tiny leaps you take every day.
Every Monday morning, my goal is to bring you an array of motivating and inspiring coaches, authors, keynote speakers, entrepreneurs, and fitness gurus to share their perspectives on motivation to awaken the sleepy giant within you. Plus, you get a taste of their secret sauce on success habits, ninja tips on staying healthy as well as happy, and personal insights as to how they transformed failures. Guess what? Into fortunes, equipping you with the power tools to make those powerful moves. Welcome to Motivational Monday, the show that guarantees you the motivation you need to thrive throughout the week. Up next is our featured guest on today's show. He is the one and only Greg Kunas. Greg is an entrepreneur and the host of the explosive podcast series, Tiny Leaps, Big Changes. Through his podcast, Greg explores decision-making and habit formation to help you and I create a better life. Now, check this out. Greg grew his podcast from 0 to 100,000 downloads in just 6 weeks. Let's hear from the man himself. Hey, Greg, it's wonderful to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored.
How are you and what have you been up to recently?
I'm doing well. I have been up to a lot of stuff. So in addition to hosting the show, I am in the very early stages of launching the book for the show. I am doing a full rebrand of my personal brand as well as my business brand. And actually just recorded fixed a couple things for the audiobook version of the book yesterday. So it's been a busy couple of months.
Indeed. In fact, your journey's been explosive. It's incredible what you've been able to achieve, you know, in under 3 years per se with your podcast, which is, you know, incredible. Just maybe take us through the initial thought process to Tiny Leaps, Big Changes, how that came into fruition and how you were able to grow to the level you did from 0 to 100,000 downloads in just 6 weeks.
Yeah, so it's definitely been an interesting journey, and it hasn't even quite been 3 years yet. I think this coming January 1st is 3 years. So the idea for the show, I'd been in podcasting. I've been a podcaster for about 4.5 years now. I got into it right after I graduated college in 2014, and my first show was terrible. it was, as with most people's first attempt, it just was not that good and it wasn't fun for me, but it taught me some valuable lessons around how to do it, how to get a show into iTunes and all the platforms, how to record, so on and so forth. And I got hooked on the medium. And then fast forward 2 years into it, I wasn't hosting a show. I had just left my full-time job to build a web design business. And I was sitting on the subway here in New York City on the way to a date with my girlfriend, actually, and I was reading this book, this personal development book. As I was reading it, I just remember being so angry and so frustrated by the fact that this book existed. And I know that sounds a little ridiculous, but
keep it 100. I love it.
Exactly. And here was the problem. Personal development, self-help, positive thinking, all of that stuff is good, fundamentally a good thing. Mm. It allows people to take control of their life. It becomes a problem when you start to push certain messages and say that if you were to do XYZ thing, you'll get this outcome, when in actuality, that's not the truth. So the purpose of this book, the whole point of it, was to say that if you find your passion and you do that, you will always be happy and you'll never be disappointed, or you'll always be excited to work and get out of bed in the morning and so on and so forth. And as reasonable people, we all know that that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Like, you can do mm-hmm. something you absolutely love and there's still going to be bad days.
Of course.
Not to mention, even if you find the thing you love that you are most passionate about in this world, for many people, you're never going to be able to do it as your only source of income. And you probably don't even want to, because once you bring work into a thing you are passionate about, it very often stops being a thing you're passionate about. So there were all these flaws to the message, in addition to which he was presenting this this idea that once you find your passion, you can sort of do the whole like jump off the cliff and build a parachute on the way down kind of thing, without talking about the fact that he, and I know this for a fact because I know the author personally, he comes from a little bit of privilege, and everyone that he shared in the book comes from a little bit of privilege, and not everyone came from like millions of dollars, but everyone had some kind of safety net created by their parents or their family. And so they could take that leap without having to worry too much. Meanwhile, many of the people who were going to read this book was going to be someone who, if they took that leap before they were ready and the parachute didn't get built, guess what? They're in a lot of trouble. And so I was sitting there just so angry at the fact that this book existed, and angry at the industry in general, the self-help personal development industry, because it had become about saying things that sound nice and look good on Instagram, but aren't very practical. And so I decided in that moment, someone needs to create something that talks about the practical side of personal development. And since I had been in the podcasting world, it just made sense to go that route. And so 7 days later, I had the show, I launched it, and it just took off. There were certain things I did, but a lot of it was good timing. A lot of it was the factors that you can't necessarily plan for, but you do need to do all the other stuff to be prepared for when it happens.
And I think that's a beautiful factor as well, that when, you know, preparation meets that opportunity, you have a successful outcome, as you discovered there. Amazing, amazing stuff. So in essence then, what is the one wrong assumption people often make about personal development and wanting to, you know, develop yourself and become the better version of yourself per se?
I wouldn't even say it's the wrong assumption. I think what people realize but don't act upon is that changing your life is very simple. It is a series of decisions you make in each individual moment that creates the outcome you have. It's really that basic. Where you are now, barring any outside factors that are outside of your control, where you are in your life right now, whether it's related to your finances or your health or your relationships with others or your own emotional health, where you are is largely based on a series of things that happened in your past.
Absolutely.
And in the same way, where you're going to be is going to be based on a series of things happening right now. Mm. And so when you realize that, and you recognize that, okay, so in order to have some degree of control over the outcome of my life, I just need to focus on controlling on the day-to-day decisions. That makes it really, really easy to do. That makes it really practical. And all of a sudden, having this major goal of making $1 million, that doesn't seem is an impossible goal anymore. That's something that, okay, maybe I can't guarantee that I'll do it, but I know what I need to do today to increase that outcome. So to answer your question, I don't think it's a misconception people make. I think everyone knows this in some sense. Everyone understands this logically, but for some reason, they keep looking for sort of the magic pill, the thing that's going to change everything. And it just doesn't exist.
And often the shortcut, I think a lot of people, when they hear success stories, like for instance, if I use you
for example, any aspiring podcaster right now hearing and seeing, wow, you were able to turn around 100,000 downloads in 6 weeks. And a lot of people want to gravitate to the quick, instantaneous side of success and not understand that before you got to where you are today, you had previously launched a podcast in the past that propelled you and was the catalyst to give you all the necessary fundamentals to be successful the second time around.
And not only that, so let's get real deep with it.
Yeah.
Not only had I previously launched a podcast, I'd hosted 3 shows prior to Tiny Leaps. I had launched for other people, for clients, at that point, 22 shows. So this was definitely not my first rodeo. The reason I was able to take it from idea to launch in 7 days was because I knew exactly what I was doing. And then prior to all of that, I have now been in the digital marketing, content marketing world for 10 years. At that point, it was 8 years. And so I started with blogging, went to video before I got into podcasting. So this was nowhere near an overnight success. This was spending a lot of time gaining a lot of different skills that I could never possibly see where it was going to lead. But what I have now in my life and where I'm at in my career is 100% because of all the skills and time that I spent prior to any of it being an idea.
Love that. So teach us, Greg. Someone's sitting at the edge of their seat. They're loving everything you're saying. This 3-step process that you have, where a person can apply to any area of their life. Walk us through it.
Here's what I like to tell people, and it's really simple. You'll notice a recurring theme here that I'm a big fan of simplicity. I'm a big fan of taking things that seem complex and breaking it down to what actually matters and then throwing away all the stuff that doesn't. So if you have a goal, let's say you want to start a podcast or you want to lose weight or you want to make more money or whatever it is, the very first step of accomplishing any goal is to first understand what that goal is. And I know that sounds so basic. That sounds like, well, duh, but I would challenge you, because most people, the biggest mistake they are making in their lives is that they have never once stopped to actually ask themselves, what is it that I want in this specific area? They might have a big vision. They might have daydreams of maybe what they would like their life to look like, but they've never written down, this is what I want my body to look like. This is the level of money that I want to bring in. This is the type of relationship. They've never written down, as it relates to each individual area, the specific goal that they want. And this is where frameworks like the SMART goals or what any of those goal setting frameworks, this is where they become valuable, because they help you get specific. So the very first thing is to very clearly understand what it is you want as it relates to this specific area and getting that documented. The second step, so now you know what you want. Well, the next thing you need to do is understand where you currently are in relation to that thing. And I always like to drive this point home here that the goal in this second stage, this audit, is not to be judgmental. It's not to place any judgment on yourself at all for anything that you've done. It's just to clearly understand what you have going for you and what's potentially holding you back. And so this means auditing your day-to-day behaviors. This means auditing the assets you have available. This means auditing the people around you and anything that could possibly help you or anything that might hinder you from accomplishing that goal. So to give a very practical example here, one of the stories I talk about in my book is the fact that I'm an immigrant to the U.S. and I came here when I was 8, and I grew up in Jamaica, and my parents, they sort of went through this process without knowing that they were doing it. In fact, a lot of my philosophies come from just sort of analyzing what they did. And so we were in Jamaica. I was, let's say, 6 at the time. My parents knew that the next move for them had to be coming to the U.S. The economy in Jamaica wasn't doing super well. There weren't very many jobs, not to mention they wanted to give me and my sister more opportunity. So they knew that coming to the U.S. was the choice they needed to make.
Right.
From there, that's the goal. From there, they needed to audit their reality. Did they have a ton of money to just pack up and go? No. Did they have a ton of connections to pack up? No. Did they have the ability to, they were in a two-parent relationship, and so one of them could theoretically stay with us while one went? That was an option. That's something that they had. Not necessarily good or bad, but that is an asset that they could use. Did they have a ton of furniture and stuff that they could sell in the meantime to keep us afloat while one of the parents went to America to find opportunity? That's an option they had. And so they did this very basic audit of what is a possible way that we can make this happen. Where are we now? What are the things we can do? And the choice they made was that my dad came a year before us and my mom stayed with us in Jamaica and sold all of our stuff to make things work while my dad was here finding a job, finding a home before he finally sent for us. And that worked. They took the time, they audited what they could do, and then they did the third step, which is, again, very basic, executing on it. So once you know what you want and once you know what your opportunities are to create that thing, whether it's cutting out behaviors, whether it's adding behaviors, whether it's spending less money if your goal is financial or whatever it is, now you have a clear audit of who you are in relation to that goal. The third step is just to do the stuff that you've now identified as things you can do. And you do that every single day. And eventually, you are closer to that goal. Maybe you don't achieve 100% of it. There's a lot of external factors that might get in the way. Right. But you will get closer to it.
Greg's top takeaway. Decide on what you want and document it down. Write that goal down that relates to a specific area that you want to see progress in. 2, decide on where you currently are as it relates to your goal and take a personal audit of your daily behaviors, things that you might need to cut out. Look around you at the resources that you have close by, people that you can access that can aid you and move you towards your desired goal outcome. And 3 is simply to do the stuff. In the words of Nike, just do it. And you may not achieve fully what you want, but I guarantee you, you'll be far more closer than when you started out at the beginning. Now, you're releasing a book. Congratulations, by the way, sir.
Thank you so much.
At the core, what do you hope to accomplish with your book?
So the purpose of the book, and it's funny because if you had asked me this when I first started writing it, I wouldn't have had a good answer for you. It's through writing it that I started to understand why it existed.
Okay.
And I find that ends up being the case for most good content or art or whatever you want to call it. So the purpose of the book is to explore what I call the gap. It's this thing where we all know what we need to do. Whatever our goal is, we all can reasonably sit down and plot out a path to getting there. And if not, we can go to Google. Like, the knowledge isn't the problem. It's actually doing the stuff we know we should be doing.
Yes.
So why is there this gap between the knowledge of what to do and the action of doing it? And that's what I try to explore in the book by bringing in the psychological factors, the economic factors, all of these things that I've sort of quantified as being responsible for behavior, for day-to-day mm-hmm. behavior, mm-hmm. as well as bringing in stories from experts in these different areas. So I speak to Cal Newport, who's the author of So Good They Can't Ignore You, and we talk a lot about the need for passion and whether or not that's a big driver of behavior. I speak to a gentleman named Tal Gurr, who is, he's the author of The Art of Fully Living. And over a 10-year window, he accomplished 100 major life goals. These huge goals that a lot of people set as their bucket list items. And so we talk about goal setting and tracking and how to sort of drive behavior from the goals we set. And I also speak to a woman named Jen Hudak, who is a former Olympian and X Games world champion. And we talk about how to sort of deal with the pressure that we all place on ourselves and the pressure that is placed on us externally, and how we sort of live within that to get to a place where pressure isn't stopping us from executing. So the purpose of the book really is to try and get us to a place where we understand the different factors responsible for holding us back from taking action.
Really important.
And by understanding it, we can start to sort of circumvent it or plan around it in order to drive more action.
Yes, yes, yes. When's the book going to be available, sir?
So it is available January 15th, anywhere you buy books. So it is Barnes & Noble or whatever the international options are. It's available online on Amazon and so on and so forth. And it is available for pre-order now. And so you can order it whenever you feel like it. And if you want a free chapter of it, if you just want to try it before you buy it, so to speak, you can head to tinyleapsbook.com. And you just enter your name and email and I'll immediately send you the free chapter. It's like the first 45 pages or something like that. So there's a good chunk of info in it.
It was on the eve of October 2017, in the height of all that Greg had imagined and dreamed, that the unthinkable happened.
October 10th, 2017, my father passed away.
Oh.
And here's the thing. Everyone loses people that they love. Mm-hmm. It's no less sad nor more no more sad that it happened to me. I think what was interesting with this is that outside of that happening, if we were to just sort of surgically remove that event from the year, 2017 was the greatest year of my life.
Right.
That's the year that I got the book deal. I started speaking on stage. My business really started to take off. I was in discussions to host a TV show. Like there were all of these really incredible things all coming from the podcast and all happening in 2017. And then around the beginning of the year, my dad was complaining about it being hard to breathe. And so we assumed it was like pneumonia or something like that. And so he went to the doctor and it turns out it was lung cancer. And so diagnosis came in June. And by October, he was gone. And it was made even worse because he was actually on the mend. So he had successfully completed treatment. Both a surgery, chemo, and radiation, and he was in recovery. He seemed to be good. He was completely out of the hospital. He was energetic, walking, talking, laughing. The one thing was that he wasn't eating, and that was because the radiation had actually burned up his esophagus. And so one morning, something randomly went wrong, and there's a number of theories as to what happened. We chose not to do an autopsy, but he ended up passing away. And that put me in this place of two immediate reactions. The first was recognizing that out of my parents, my dad brought in the majority of the income.
Right.
My mom works and makes some money, but my dad brought in the most. And so the immediate reaction was, I need to get my business, all these opportunities that are here for me, I need to get them to a place where I can help offset some of the burden that's about to fall on my mother's shoulders. Because he did have life insurance and there was money coming to her, but eventually that's going to run out. And then what, right? Mm-hmm. And so that was the thought I had literally the day it happened. And that was my way of responding. And so what I did in response to that was that this was peak book writing. This was peak business building. I was working full time at the time in addition to everything else going on. And so I just put my head down and ignored it and just focused on, hey, the time is going to pass anyway. These next 6 months, this next year, it's going to pass anyway. And maybe I'm not taking the time I need to grieve, but at least at the end of it, I'll be in a better place financially. I'll be in a better place career-wise and so on and so forth. And I justified it by saying that this is what my dad would have wanted me to do and work hard and prove that he was right to believe in me the way that he did and yada, yada, yada. And so I kid you not when I say that from October 2017 through February or March of this year, I have very little memory. I worked myself into a place of absolute exhaustion and absolute on happiness, and to the point that I thankfully was in therapy at the time. And I remember having this conversation with my therapist multiple times that I felt not even on the verge of a psychotic break. I felt like I'd already disconnected from the world. It was such a weird place, and it was coming from grief. It was coming from not taking the time to deal with it. It was coming from feeling like I couldn't take the time to deal with it. And it was coming from, quite frankly, not wanting to take my foot off the gas, because all these things that I'd worked for 10 years were finally happening.
Yes, yes.
And I couldn't let this thing that is a big deal, but in my head at the time, happens to everybody, and this is fine. He would have wanted me to. I couldn't let this thing stop me from getting everything I'd been working so hard for. And it wasn't until March that I just collapsed. I was standing in my kitchen. I have a photo of him on my refrigerator, and I think I was reaching into the fridge to get a glass of water or something. And before I knew it, like, my knees just gave out and I was on the floor, just tears flowing down my face. Thankfully, my girlfriend was home at the time and was able to help me work through it. But it got me to this place of doing two really major things. One was recognizing that I am, thinking back, happy that I worked through it and that I got myself to where I am now, because I don't think I would be here if I had taken my foot off the gas. But two, understanding that I wasn't building something that actually accomplished what my goal for it was, which was freedom, which was the ability to create the things that I think will be valuable for the world, which was help being able to help others. I was building something that I was very quickly becoming a slave to. Because if you can't even take a break from your job in order to deal with losing someone who meant the world to you, then that's not a job. You're in chains. And so I'm not 100% positive that if that answers the question, but that to this day, and I think probably for the rest of my life, will be sort of the darkest moments that I've had. Of course, there's hardships around that, but after going through that, I don't see how anything else outside of whenever I eventually lose my mother, like outside of that, I don't see how anything else will ever compare.
It's massive. It really is. Looking back, what would you like our listeners to extrapolate from your story or experience?
I think if you find yourself in a similar position where you are struggling with something as emotionally damaging as having someone you love ripped apart, ripped from you, I think you need to understand two things. One, if it is your legitimate reaction, then it is okay to work through it. It is okay to put your head down and focus on what you need to work on. If that is your legitimate reaction, do not let any external forces that are telling you that you need to hustle or whatever it is stop you from, or rather make you feel like you have to respond that way. So that's the first thing. If that is your legitimate reaction, then do that. That is you. That is what you need to do to grieve. But then second to that, I would hope that people would understand something I didn't at the time, which is that if you take your foot off the gas, it doesn't all disappear. Because that was what I felt. I felt like if I stopped, all of these opportunities would just vanish. Nothing else would come in. And that's not the case. The truth is that, one, the people bringing these opportunities to you will understand. And two, there are always more opportunities if those specific ones do end up going away. If you were good enough to get those opportunities in the first place, I can guarantee you, you will get way more. And so I wish I understood that it wasn't luck that I got these things. Like, these things happened because I worked for them. And if I had taken the 2-3 months I needed to grieve and deal with it, not only would I have been in a healthier place, but there would have been way more opportunities, simply because these didn't just show up out of nowhere. I worked to get them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you've been successful before, the likelihood is you'll be successful again. More for Motivational Monday after this. It's all new with Season 2, Motivational Monday, the show that guarantees you the motivation you need to thrive throughout the week. Do you ever find yourself thinking, I've lost my confidence. I'm tired of playing it safe. I'm unsure whether my skills and experience fit in today's job market after having had a career break. Things just aren't working out for me at home or at work. Why not connect with me at abigailautry.com for a free discovery call today and let me reignite the greatness in you. So in the words of Jim Rohn, success leaves clues. So we want to take a closer look, Greg, at your mindset mastery, personal mantras that you're telling yourself to keep going during the tough times.
So I've always struggled with this because I don't respond well to mantras and like affirmations and stuff. With that said, there are two big things that I try to do for myself each day. The first is every single day I try to tackle a weak area. So for example, I am not incredibly organized and I am not, I'm not the kind of person who can focus on a specific task. And so for me, how I need to respond to that is to try and fix those specific problems because I know that they're holding me back. And I do that by setting sort of boundaries for myself around those things. And then whenever I start to sway or stray from that path, those boundaries I set for myself, really focusing on reminding myself of why I'm doing it. So for example, one of my most recent things that I'm playing with is I'm not allowed to check my email or do any kind of work-related communication until noon.
Excellent.
And that's something that I've wanted to do for many years, but have always been terrified of.
Yeah.
And so finally today I decided, okay, I need to do this because I'm getting stuck in other people's agenda the minute I wake up, basically. And so I decided, all right, I'm doing this. And I can't tell you how many times I've just found myself in my email. Somehow I just get there. But whenever that happened or whenever my thoughts started to go in that direction, I had to just very calmly remind myself, no email. And if I was in the tab, I would close it before looking at anything. If I caught myself mid typing it, then I would of course back out. But it's just these two words that pop need to be played in my head when that happens, almost as a directive to myself of no email. And similarly, I'm a big fan of intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. Some days are easier than others. And so, and for those of you who don't have context, intermittent fasting is basically limiting your eating periods to an 8-hour window and fasting, or at least the model I approach it with is limiting it to an 8-hour window and fasting for 16. For me, some days are easier than others. And so on those harder days, I just have to remind myself, like, okay, you can't eat till 12. Like you can't eat till noon. You can't eat till noon. And just sort of repeating those things that are very, very focused on the specific thing that I'm trying to accomplish in that moment. But in general, I don't do many affirmations or mantras or anything like that.
Now, in the world of keeping yourself inspired and your tank full, what one personal development book or business book has been most meaningful to you?
So the book I'd recommend here is called Steal Like an Artist. It's by an author/artist named Austin Kleon. It's very short. It's more of an art book than it is a book. But here's what I love about it. I love the philosophy behind it. I love the whole concept is that in order to create, you first need to consume from a lot of different sources. You need to, in order to, there is nothing original left in this world. And so in order to create something, it's basically just combining many different things in a different or unique way. And so for me, and this has always worked with the way that I function and perform, I consume far more than I create. I am consuming content all the time. I've never really understood the whole like, oh, I never watch TV thing. I think it's less about the time you spend watching TV and more about how you use that time. And one of the things I'm most grateful for is I graduated with an art degree and I was taught how to consume critically, how to consume in a way that allows me to pull influence from the different art forms that I am consuming. And that then gives me ammunition for the next project. And so one of the things I did with my podcast, and I always recommend this to clients, is I pulled the way I structure my episodes, or at least the way I did in the beginning, that was influenced heavily by the different nightly shows. So like at the time I was watching a lot of The Daily Show with Jon Stewart or Colbert Report with Stephen Colbert. And I loved how those shows were structured and how they delivered each segment. And so I pulled a lot of influence from that when outlining my own show. And those things have no place in podcasting or in a non-comedic format, but guess what? It worked. And so I would recommend that book to anybody because I think that if you are willing and able to consume critically, there's an endless supply of ideas.
Now we are bringing the show to a final close. Unfortunately, the time has so flown, but it's been great catching all the nuggets you've been sharing throughout the episode. As you could have sort of like bring everything to a close, what final words, Greg, would you like to leave our audience with today? And how can they connect with you online?
Yeah, so the easiest way to connect with me is my website, gregclunis.com, or on Instagram, at Greg Clunis. You're already listening to a podcast, so if you feel like it, you can check out mine as well. It's called awesome. Tiny Leaps, Big Changes. And that's, it's different from the book in that it's the same core philosophy, which I'll break down in a second because that's the message I want to leave, but it tackles a different area of it. So feel free to give that a listen. And if you do, I'd love to hear from you and hear your opinion. The philosophy and message I will leave you with is the same thing I say at the end of every single podcast episode, all 307 or 8 or however many there are now. I've left my listeners with this same message, and that is that all big changes come from the tiny leaps you take every day. And let me unpack that just a little bit. My core philosophy, the thing I believe most in this world and that drives everything I do, is that it is in fact possible to change your life. This was proven to me when my parents decided to pack up everything they owned, sell everything, and move to the US. Now, here's the part that is difficult. One, bridging that gap between knowing what to do and acting, and two, sticking with it for long enough. Because changing your life is all about, as I've previously said, the decisions you make today and how they add up and create the future that you will have. That's all it is. That is all that your future is created by, is just the actions and experiences and things that are happening right now. And so if that's the case, then we have the opportunity to some degree control our future and the direction that our life goes. And we do so by focusing on the tiny leaps, the day-to-day behaviors, the habits, the routines, the things that we are choosing to do on a daily basis. And so all big changes in your life will always come. And this is how any change in any industry across any area happens. It's a sequence of tiny leaps that connect to each other and that create the reality that change exists in. So focus on what you are doing. The small things matter, and that will create what you're looking for.
All right. I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. But if you go over to abigailaudrey.com/podcast, you'll be able to check out today's show notes links. So you can go click connect with Greg and purchase the book, Tiny Leaps and Big Changes, because it's a game changer and it's going to set you and propel you up for 2019 and beyond. Greg, thank you for graciously sharing and caring your wisdom and pearls of knowledge with us throughout this episode.
Thank you. I meant it when I said I was honored to be here. And to the people listening, I can't thank you enough for your time. It's incredibly valuable, and you chose to share it share a bit of it with me. So thank you.
Awesome. And just to re-echo in the words of Greg, all big changes truly come from those teeny tiny leaps that you make every single day. So keep moving. I'll catch you same time, same place next week for a fresh dose of motivation. God bless. It's all new with Season 2, Motivational Monday, the show that guarantees you the motivation you need to thrive throughout the week.
Thanks for listening to the Motivational Monday podcast with career and confidence coach Abigail Autry. If you need a motivational boost in your life, visit abigailautry.com.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Motivational Monday. If this content is adding value to your life, our one big ask is that you go to iTunes, Stitcher to rate and review. Not only does it help us build our global community in which we are committed in doing, but it also helps us get on even more amazing guests to share their knowledge with us all. Thank you guys for being a part of this uplifting community. And until next week, remember, you have greatness within you.